you want to open or me?
I mean, are we going to do some kind of formal opening? We're just going to do our banter as usual and kind of lead into you and me just making fun of something.
Let's do a formal opening and then make fun of the fact that we just tried to do a formal opening.
Like we are right now?
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
So this is an opening?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow, that's sad.
Whatever.
I was really going to try to do a good opening and throw a good music bed underneath it. But hey, it's Certifiable Total Recall. Jason Martin, Andrew Van, brought to you by Richard's Comics and Collectibles in Greenville, South Carolina on Lawrence Road.
1214A Lawrence Road, Greenville, South Carolina, right across from Pomona Fine Foods. You'll find nothing but the good stuff there. Richard's Comics at richard.morgan at
netcom.ix. Whatever. Something close to that, actually.
/AOL, NBC. I don't know.
Just
awful.
Go to his store. Don't email him.
No, because he's probably too busy playing Diablo 3 or Diablo Skyrim 3 on his PC.
Way to Comic-Con.
That too.
So, Andy, we had some audio issues with the Avengers cast, but it was still a fun couple of hours to spend. And as we said, when we came back, we were going to do TV finales. And indeed, that is what we're going
to
do.
To those who actually listened to it all the way through, yes. That's what we said.
If you made it, you deserve a cookie, but I am out of cookies.
I'll give you a cookie.
All right, Andy will give you a cookie if you want to visit him at Richard's Comics and Collectibles on Lawrence.
I'll be giving out cookies there. Bag.
Like virtual cookies in Diablo 3.
No, I'll give out real cookies. I just won't say where they're from or who made them.
What about
That's undisclosed.
That's Big Newton's.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, last time I went to the Ridge, I bought Star Wars chopsticks. They're pretty nice.
Yeah, you posted that on Facebook.
Did you see what else I posted right after I bought that from Richards?
No.
I went to Earshot down the road in Greenville, and I bought Dexter coaster sets.
Oh, look at you.
Like, the box looks like his slide box, and then inside there's six coasters, and they're clear, and they look like little
slides. That's pretty awesome.
I was very happy with that. Very happy. I haven't even used them yet. I don't want to use them.
Would those
nice.
Run you $10, $20?
No, it was like $24.99, and because of Memorial Day weekend, it was 15% off, so
yeah, okay.
20 and change after tax. Wasn't bad at all. That was
and
very.
It was
worth
like
it.
Official.
Oh yeah, very official. No, like they were real
like
blood
somebody,
slides.
No, I wasn't saying that. Oh,
no, like we're gonna pass this off. It'd be awesome.
The redheaded Earshot that always had a thing for me was doing some kind of sacrifice in the. To make those in the back.
What was really great is, like, in the parking lot of the Earshot, too, there was this random garbage bag full of, like, random DVDs. And me and Adam were just kind of like, should we take that bag in and try and trade it in, or should we leave it alone? Looks like there's some sickness in there. And there's some, I saw one thing on very top. It was pretty good. It was the Friday collection. All on one disc.
The three?
Well, that and All About the Benjamins, because it has Mike Epps and Ice Cube.
So it was an Ice Cube collection.
Yes, with okay. Mike Epps.
But it was just the three Fridays and what was the other one?
It was the three Fridays and All About the Benjamins.
All About the Benjamins, okay.
Which is actually a pretty funny movie.
Never got to watch it, but I probably should have because I did enjoy the Friday series.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just nothing I would go out of my way to get, but if it came on at like 3 a.m. on a Sunday,
you wouldn't scramble to change the channel.
No, because for whatever reason, I wouldn't think I would have the energy at 3 a.m. in the morning to scramble channels now. It'll be okay.
Mm.
I see.
So you were actually sick last week, right?
I am still kind of sick. I'm getting over something right now.
Syphilis?
I just got back. That's undisclosed, sir.
Cancer? It's cancer, isn't it?
It's lupus.
It's lupus?
Is it lupus?
Oh, my God, it's lupus.
Trying to feel better. Just got back making a roundabout trip around Taylor's, South Carolina, and Greer.
Hi, Roland.
Yes, sir. Well, it was really cool. We just stopped by Video Game Cavern a little bit ago. That was very depressing.
Remember the last time we went in there when I stopped in over Christmas break and back into South Carolina for a few days?
Oh, yeah. We grabbed No Mercy, baby.
And marijuana apparently was being smoked.
Oh, of course.
The entire time we were there.
Well, I'm just saying because in Video Game Cavern is the equivalent of Goodwill to the video game industry. Like, it just smells like poor people and weed when you go in there. By the way, when we went in there, there was a used guide for the Batman and Robin game, which was very close to being yours for $1.85. But then I realized I would have to ship it to you, and the shipping, God knows, would be awful. So I decided not to. Or did I?
I guess I'll find out.
What did we do after that? Yeah, we went and had some, ate some food. I bought a Dark Knight t-shirt just a little bit ago. It's like the Dark Knight symbol. It's like glass, and it's like broken, shattered.
I've seen nice. That. I actually got a shirt from Superhero Hype a couple of weeks ago. I had a coupon. It's the symbol 4. It's like Batman, just like kind of a charcoal gray with the black symbol on it from Hush.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I'm going to rock to the premiere.
Now, I'll talk about, by the way, since we're on the Batman theme, how underwhelming the Harvey DLC is.
Go right ahead.
Harvey and Harley.
Matter of fact, before we do that, here's Deborah Barone. And here's Raymond Barone.
Deborah!
What ticket?
Oh, what is happening?
Oh, what is happening? All right, that's where we're going to put that in. All right, yep, what's happening? Thank you, Raymond.
Got a question. Are we really going to put that in? Because last time you're like, we're going to put that in, then you never did put that in, which is amazing.
I forgot to put those in.
Yeah, you sure did. It's like, what?
That's almost better.
But yeah, no, it's just, man, it's $10, $9.99, or what is the equivalent, 800.
Play as her?
No, you okay. Start off as Robin, and the events, it's kind of like a Tarantino thing. It's 2 days after the events of the finale of Arkham City, and you play as Robin, you're tracing the footsteps of Batman, beating a bunch of dudes, and you get to a point where you find his belt, then it goes back, and it's like 2 days before. Now you're playing as Batman, leading to the point where you drop the belt and you get kidnapped or whatever. So Harley's got you captive, then you gotta play back as Robin, and then you gotta beat up some more thugs, fight her, and then you gotta free Batman, then you gotta go as Batman and disarm bombs all across Gotham or the city, whatever, and shit like that. It's just, it's not as thrilling, as not as much as I hoped for. The thing that kinda distraughts me a little bit is, I love the Batman games. I do. I really do. I love the first one that came out last 2 years ago, and I like this one that just came out just now.
And you like Batman Forever back on Sega Genesis?
You like Batman and Robin because you're going to have the guide finally? Yes. But the thing is, I hate the side stuff. I didn't like the last game where it was PS3 exclusive. You get to play as the Joker. No, you get to play as the Joker in a, what is it, the Battle Royale thing?
Challenge maps.
Challenge maps. I hate the challenge maps, man. Give me expansions to the game. That's what I want. I want more missions. I want more character playability in the missions. I don't know. I want more story. Don't give me side quests.
You know what? I'm going to say this real fast, and I'll let you get back to your thing. I think the next Arkham, you should play as the Joker or as a villain. Like, completely different perspective. It's never been tried before, but quite frankly, it's going to be very difficult for Rocksteady or anybody else to top what's already been done. So why bother? Why not try to take it from a completely different perspective? Because I think people would flock for the opportunity to maybe face off against Batman or see things written maybe by Paul Dini or somebody very talented like him from the opposite perspective. Maybe even for half the game. Maybe you could do the kind of thing that Ultimate Spider-Man
did. I think you'd have to, because of everything that happens in the Batman game, I think you'd have to go a different approach. Not necessarily play as Joker, but if you start as a new series, I would love as a fan knowing so, and not a lot of mainstream people who only watch the movies and only watch maybe the show, if they watch the show, but people especially who watch movies have no idea who the hell Hush is. But
right.
If they could, I would really love to watch a Hush or play as a Hush game, because that's what Hush is about. You're stalking Batman.
Yeah.
Or Bane in general. You're stalking Batman, making all these elaborate plans to fuck with his life. I mean, that would be great. Yeah. It'd be like a mystery game in a sense, too. I'm all about that. But I don't know. This is also a sense of when you play as a villain, you kind of double-edged sword, because now as a villain, do you beat up Batman who you idolize? As a fan, you idolize and you love, or you let nature take its toll, where basically the good guy's going to win, and then you play to the point in the game, and then you just get beat. Like, what's the satisfaction in that to me?
Well, I don't think you could do that. I think maybe, what if you had an open-ended option at the end, where when you finally reach the Caped Crusader, or maybe even him and Robin, you get to select whether you want to be good or bad. And for
like
that fight, so that you can see your own ending. Does the Joker finally get to come up and on Batman? Or does the Dark Knight take down the Clown Prince to end the game? Like, kind of almost infamous, but actually done right.
You mean like kind of like Mass Effect Renegade Paragon thing?
Yeah, something like that, but not all the way through the game like that. Just for this one moment at the end, you have the option to be good or evil for the final chapter so that you can see both endings the way they could potentially be written by very intelligent Batman scribes.
You know what would be cool is if instead of doing the villain thing, do it with Public Enemies or do it with Hush, where you play as Batman and Superman. So that way you get two different styles of gameplay. And in Hush in particular, when Superman is taken over by Poison Ivy, you actually have to battle Batman, or you could be Batman battling Superman. I think that'd be cool. Or you do a Dark Knight Returns where, again, you face, like, let's say you're Superman, you're basically doing your missions and you're following the government's orders, yada, 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 and then you got to fight Batman, or flip the ground, you're the old Batman, now you got to fight old Superman.
The Chubbs?
Yes. Don't you hate
that would
Chubbs?
Lead to a Kingdom Come expansion, at which point I could die a happy man.
I think they could really, if they pulled it off enough, you could almost do a Kingdom Come MMO.
You think, could, but you'd have to really tell the story.
You have to tell the story, but man, think of the character customizations you can do, and you could be like, oh, I'm the son of Batman slash, you know, Huntress, or I'm, you know, the son of Superman slash whatever. You could bring up so many metahumans, it'd be awesome.
So that's a little
and
off
I
the topic.
I think if done right, not...
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, it was say, just don't do it like City of Heroes and leave it shitty.
Oh, yeah, no. Except for the big snowman, which we sat there and waited until it respawned every half hour to get all the experience.
Yes.
All right, so back to your original point. What makes the Harley DLC underwhelming?
Just for me from the very beginning, like it's not like you hit continue in this gameplay and the DLC will pop up. You know, like if you played Fallout and you download the DLC, and when you play the Fallout game, you get like a little indicator on like your Pip-Boy or whatever. Hey, you have a new mission. No, it's a thing from the main menu. Like a new expansion, like Harley's Revenge, whatever. And I'm like, I don't know. To me, it didn't feel right from that beginning. Because like, if it was an expansion to the original game, shouldn't I just go into my original game save and just pick it from there? Like, to me, from the beginning, it didn't feel right. But I don't know. Just some of the parts where you're trying to chase shit or it's timed is really annoying. And to me, most games that have time sequences and chase events are just absolutely awful. I cannot stand it. It makes me want to vomit. So, I mean, overall, man, it's worth downloading.
Maybe wait for a sale.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I don't know. I would advise against it unless you absolutely want to see what happens or whatever. It's really not a big deal at all to me. It doesn't really, you know, leave me hankering for another game. Just playing Batman in general makes me want another game and done well. But, again, would Kevin Conroy ever come back and do Batman again?
Supposedly he and Hamill are done, right?
Supposedly, well, I know Hamill's done.
Yeah.
But Kevin Conroy, I think for the right money, he don't give a shit. He just did that Comic-Con thing at Emerald City, which is amazing, by the way. Seriously, follow that link on my Facebook. I promise you, for the hour and 20 minutes that it's going, it's well worth listening to. It's funny as hell. Oh, you have every voice you can think of when growing up, from Fry to Yakko, Wacko, Powerpuff Girls, Transformers, Ren and Stimpy, Bender, every voice you can think of growing up with is there, and it's just amazing to listen to.
Then I need to find that link. I didn't actually see that post.
I did about a week and a half ago. Okay. It was Emerald City Comic Con at the end of March.
Okay.
And basically, like, voiceovers, Kevin Conroy, and here's the funny thing, Kevin Conroy's on that list with, like, John DiMaggio, Billy West, and Tara Strong. He's in this entire, like, big league list, but all he does for this whole thing, and what they're doing is they're reading the script to the first half of Star Wars New Hope. That's all they're doing, but they're doing it as, like, they change scenes. So each scene, they're changing the voices with it. So, like, in this scene, Princess Leia will be played by Bender. And so John DiMaggio would do Bender's voice for Leia's readover. And so on and so on. Like, there's a part where Billy West at one point does Obi-Wan as Porky Pig, which is amazing. But yeah, all Kevin Conroy does is he just narrates. So the stuff is like, later on, and Dantooine. Like, that's all he does. in the Batman voice. He even does the opening scroll, which is amazing.
All right. So, I was going to segue to Batman, but I'm going to bring this up, even though it's not on the format that I sent you. It was something I was listening to on the radio yesterday. The noted movie critic, I actually like the guy, but it's not, this is kind of a joke, but Glenn Beck was talking about Men in Black 3, and I'm not going to Men in Black 3 right now, which he was ripping big time, but he is like ripped George Lucas pretty consistently for the last several years and said that he wants to create movie prison and basically put George Lucas in jail for the rest of his life for crimes against movie humanity. And basically, he said other than the three Star Wars films, George Lucas might be one of the worst directors of all time. And I wanted to get your opinion just quickly as I was thinking about it. And he excluded Indiana Jones, but basically said, look, those are Spielberg movies, not George Lucas. If you read the stuff, most of the story was Spielberg. Most of all the things that made it right were Spielberg, so you can't really give George Lucas credit for it. I don't know if I go that far. But if you look at some of the other stuff George Lucas has done, which of course include episodes 1, 2, and 3, as well as Red Tails, which apparently was hideous, and Howard the Duck, which is a cult favorite but not a great movie. Am I missing something here? Am I missing other things that he's done?
I think he's just saying it to be funny, and I think whatever, it's not serious, and I don't really care, and I don't want to take it too serious. But do I sense the degree of what he's saying? Yes and no. At the same time, and this goes for any actor or director, who doesn't have some sort of bad works in their repertoire?
Well, that's true,
you and me play a game.
But when the good outweigh the bad. In this situation, do the good outweigh the bad for George Lucas? That's the argument he was making, is that the bad outweigh the good, far outweigh the good when it comes to George Lucas.
I do, just because Star Wars is that big to me in my life and my culture and in box office history and all kinds of stuff. Plus, like, he may have done some bad things as far as movies, whatever, or decimated Star Wars, but look at the licensing he's done. Look at the imaginary things and inspiration he's done for people and for movies and the technology he's brought. So as a person, no. And to me, like, oh, movie jail, that's clever. Get on the board. Shut up.
Yeah, no, it's not really as much that. It was just basically he's a terrible director. And that was the way in which he framed the whole debate. So I just want to get your opinion on it as a big Star Wars guy. So there you go. All right, now to
everyone has bad shit.
Now to a movie we do want to talk about, and a director we do want to talk about, these new images or these new posters / wallpapers that have come out for The Dark Knight Rises, which is just, I just need that film to come out today, if it would at all be possible. But it seems like this whole rain theme is sticking around. Like, in all these pictures, whether it was Bane walking away with the mask broken and on the ground, that was in the rain. The new Rise pictorials of all the characters, all of them are in the rain. And then the one that I absolutely love is the one with Catwoman's high heel stepping on the bat symbol as she's walking in the rain, and all you can see is the boot and the silver symbol, like a batarang or whatever, on the ground. Love those. But basically all this comes down to is I just want that movie to come out. Like, it needs to come out now. Like, today, I need to be able to go see The Dark Knight Rises and see how this finale is treated, and then see how much money this film actually rakes in.
Speaking of money, Avengers apparently just officially passed Harry Potter and Dark Knight on the movie box office list now. So now it's number 3 of all time.
It was, what, number 9 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. So now it's number 3, and it's still hauling in money, and it is behind Titanic and Avatar. So, James Cameron,
look out, watch your ass.
No, not necessarily.
I think Titanic is probably safe.
Because so you think Avengers will stay in the number 3 spot?
Well, I mean, look at it from this perspective. This weekend's number 1 movie was Snow White and the Huntsman, which I saw, and we'll talk about momentarily, but it raked in 56 mil. Last week, Men in Black was number 1, and it raked in about 70 mil. So it's,
you feel dirty walking out of Snow White, by the way? I hear that's an awful movie. Just my take is from the trailers, I would never see that unless it was just like in a dollar at Redbox, and I had absolutely nothing else to do on a Friday night.
I enjoyed it. I looked forward to it. Other than Kristen Stewart being one of the most horrific actors ever, and the fact that she like breathes and tries to make it dramatic, it's just sickening. Like, she's terrible in the film, but Charlize is great. Hemsworth continues to show a lot of promise. The story was pretty good. I think it was a little long, a little bit too macabre and dark at times, but I still enjoyed it. I got you know, I got what I thought I was going to get out of that 2 hours and 7 minutes, but it's not something that I will own, but it's something I would say, yeah, there's no reason not to watch it. I thought it was pretty good. Overall, I looked after the fact just because I was curious. Rotten Tomatoes, it's like an average 66%, so it's not certified fresh, but it is not. It's over 50%. It's around what Captain America was in terms of the way it was rated overall by critics. I liked it, so no, I didn't feel dirty at all.
It's amazing how much the internet hates Kristen Stewart. Actually, I just posted something the other day on my Facebook, too, as well, at Facebook/Avan360 from, I think I got it from iwastesomuchtime.com, and I put it on my Pinterest, which is also the same thing, /Avan360. It's just a big photo collage of actors or actresses with their stunt doubles, and it just goes on this long, like, photo collage, like, all the way down. And then the very bottom, you know, it has, like, you know, Uma Thurman with hers, and like Angelina Jolie's with hers and stuff like that from all the movies. Then the very bottom is Kristen Stewart, and the next to the Kristen Stewart is it's a 2x4 lumber wood.
Wow. But I mean, it's true. One of the biggest failings of the Twilight series is not the source material. It's the dearth of acting ability of the people involved from the leads. Like Pattinson's nothing spectacular. Kristen Stewart's atrocious. She acted the exact same way in Twilight that she did in Snow White and the Huntsman, which, by the way, is basically exactly the same way she acted in Adventureland. And if you think about those three films, the acting should be different in all of them, and they weren't. She's just not good. There's no other way of getting around that. But that movie, again, it made $56 million. It's number one. Men in Black made $70 million last week. It was number one. So Avengers isn't going to be making that much more money. It's going to continue to make money, but it's already proven its worth. And it's going – I venture to say that of the more affordable gifts, the Avengers on DVD and Blu-ray will be one of the must-have items for Christmas this year.
Oh, absolutely.
I would ask for it, but I will have it the first day. So.
Yeah, there's no point in doing that. You'll get it yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know, Snow White and the Huntsman, since I saw the first trailer for Snow White and the Huntsman, I don't like how Kristen Stewart and Chris Hemsworth looked together on screen. Like, that just doesn't seem right. Like, there's something off with, like, that chemistry and that workings there. I mean, you actually saw the movie, so.
Yes.
Am I right? Does that not seem off?
It's just because Stewart's off. It's not, their chemistry was fine. Like, Hemsworth, you were easily able to root for. And he kind of played a drunk who, you know, did this basically because Charlize, well, I don't want to talk about the story in case people want to see it, but basically he gets roped into doing this for one way or another, ends up kind of being more on the side of Snow White once he realizes what's going down. Then they run into the dwarves and, you know, all this other kind of stuff, and there's another love interest involved as well, or partial love interest, so it's kind of a triangle, but not really. It's basically, it's not that they have bad chemistry. I didn't feel that way at all. That movie, again, I liked it. It wasn't the most phenomenal thing I've ever seen. Had it had a different lead, you know, it might have taken a different tone. But it was so dark and so depressing almost throughout, with the exception of about a 30-minute span there. And Theron was so good at playing evil, or Theron, that it just, you didn't leave feeling great. You left feeling spent, like exhausted. Like, emotionally just worn out. And it ends kind of exactly how you would expect it to end, because the story was written 100 years ago, or however long it was, when it first really evolved. But it certainly was not a bad film by any stretch. I posted on Twitter when I got back, Snow White and the Huntsman, good despite Kristen Stewart's horrific acting ability, and I talked about the breathing, and our friend Kari wrote a one-word tweet back that said agree. So I don't know if that means she agrees or she understands what I was saying about Kristen Stewart, meaning I don't know if she saw the film or not. But the people I was with liked it pretty well also. Pretty much the same. They had exactly the same feelings as me. Like, if this had been Anne Hathaway, for example, instead of Kristen Stewart, or, you know, that's just one example. The film could have been really good because it's not bad by any stretch. I like the action. I like kind of the idea of how they took the story. They didn't ruin the Snow White story. They just took a different tool on it, and it worked out well. But, you know, nothing spectacular, but not bad. And Men in Black 3 has gotten either worst film of all time or not bad at all. And I am more in that latter category because I really liked the way they had the story told at the end particularly, which, again, won't spoil. It's only been out 2 weeks. And I thought Josh Brolin was fantastic, and he made the movie.
I don't know. To me, like, Men in Black, I was very, very happy with it. And I go back to the original one. I remember I was, like, 13 when I first saw it. And how much, like, to me, those kinds of movies started evolving. Like, the technology and the science comedy, science fiction movies started evolving. And it was, you just have more fun with it, the dynamics of the characters. And plus, even, what is it, 16, 17 years now after Men in Black 1, like, Smith still has that just boyish charm on the screen. It's just funny as hell. And I like the line where he first wakes up and he's looking at Kay. He's like, "How you know my name?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Man, I call every guy around here Kay. What's up, Kay? Hey, Kay." Yeah. And he's like, "How do you know? Oh, I call all the ladies. Oh, so sometimes I'll be like, hey, what's okay?"
Yeah.
So just, I mean, it's stupid like that. And it's just those little lines from him. Just reminds me of, like, the good old days in a sense, if that makes any sense there.
Yeah, no, I understand. Like, when I first saw Men in Black, I was 18. I saw it in New York as part of the cross-country trip I took with my best friend at the time. And we had been excited about it for months. We were both disappointed. I was never a huge Men in Black fan, but I always intended to see this, so I went and saw it. And then I watched Men in Black when I got home, the first one. And still, I'm not a huge fan. Like, I don't hate it, and I like the banter, and I like the two leads. It's just some of it just didn't really click for me the way it should. But no, Will Smith is still Will Smith when he wants to be. He can go out and do the 6 degrees of separation, or the 7 pounds, or the pursuit of happiness, or whatever. But when he wants to, he can still be Fresh Prince, but a more matured level of Fresh Prince. But again, the thing that made this work so well was how they explained the history of the two characters and how they kind of let it evolve on screen. And then when you get to see Tommy Lee Jones at the very end, once he realizes that Jay actually understands, it's just like, it's to me, that's really well handled. Like, the plot, who gives a shit? But the character development and explaining the relevance of these people really was cool, and I was a big fan of the Bill Hader, Andy Warhol being an alien thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. Like, I was a big fan of that, plus the guy who gets to see all the various futures. Like, I liked that part of the story also. So to me, I enjoyed that.
He was
that
really
film.
Well done.
I agree.
Really, but the thing is, like, nice about it too was you could, you know, when you watch a movie, and we just literally talked about a second ago with, you talked about with Hemsworth and Stewart. When the chemistry's off and they don't look right on the screen or they don't act well together or one of them is just a shitty actress, It really ruins the motif and the atmosphere of the movie. To me, Brolin and Smith rolling together, it felt like a young Tommy Jones and Smith. And the thing was, like, I was reading about was that people were saying on the script, and plus the director was saying that, like, the chemistry between Brolin and Smith in real life while filming the movie was just like Tommy Lee Jones and Smith's, like, Joker on set when they first did the first two films, which, by the way, film two was awful. Don't go see Men in Black 2 if you don't want to. You're not missing much. You're really, really not. Now, were you saddened that Zed was dead?
No. Not really. It was interesting that that's the way they played it, but no, it just kind of just showed an evolution. It's been a minute since the second film. The second film was 2001.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been 11 years, and Rip Torn was kind of old in two.
Yeah, and they actually been planning this movie actually since right after the second movie, from what I heard. Because I know Will Smith, I read some article, I can't remember the source, so I apologize for saying this and not remembering the source. But remember, he actually went to the scriptwriters and was like, "We need to get Josh Brolin for this idea." Like, this idea for the way they did the movie had been in works for like 10 years. They just kept rewriting the script over and over.
Well, if you didn't have the right guy to play young Kay, the film would have been hideous.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, Brolin's really talented, and he even, I remember he hosted Saturday Night Live about 3 months ago and said, "You know, this is one of the hardest things I've ever done, but I hope that I did a really good job of trying to act like Tommy Lee Jones acting in the original Men in Black films. I'm here to tell you, Mr. Brolin, you knocked it out of the park." Mm. Because I love that. Like, just the way he delivered dialogue and everything about it was just pitch perfect. Film wasn't too long either. It was an hour and 40 minutes in and out. I didn't laugh all that many times, a couple times, but I just enjoyed the story, it moved fast enough for me, and when it ended, I felt like it was a satisfactory way to spend a couple of hours.
And you see, like, you know, they kept referencing, like, the whole, they've been partners for 14 years and 14 years and so on, but you see how smart Jay has gotten over the years and time, like, his fighting style, the way he handles himself. He's not unsure of himself anymore. Like, at the very end, in particular, when he does the whole, and I'll say it this way, not a spoiler, but you know the whole Prince of Persia concept?
Yeah.
Where he jumps off the rocket, yeah. Then he has to redo that whole thing. That was brilliant.
Yep.
That was so damn smart, and I was just like, wow. Fucking, we're explicit. Bravo. So,
yeah.
No. I thoroughly enjoyed the movie, too.
It was definitely the best of the three to me. Like, not even close. I really liked it.
I still like one just because it's such a classic. So if I ever buy them, I'll probably get one and three, and that's it. I'm gonna treat it just like I treat Spider-Man. I'm gonna buy one and the other, but I'm gonna leave the shitty one out. Just like X-Men. I bought the first two X-Men movies. To me, third one doesn't exist. And I heard there's a rumor there's a Wolverine Origins movie. I don't know what the fuck people were talking about.
I've never heard of it. I heard the rumor too, and I was like, I just don't believe you.
Yeah, I was like, Ryan Reynolds would never do anything this bad to ruin his career, would he? Oh, yeah, wait a minute.
Jackman, well, he didn't waste his career.
No, actually, I watched a video the day of Hugh Jackman at the Tony Awards.
Yeah, he was great.
Quite amusing. So, actually, I think the Tonys are next week or the night by NPH again.
Yep.
So, good for him.
Yep. And good call on that. All right. Green Lantern. DC promised that somebody was coming out of the closet, and it was going to be a key figure in DC lore. And when I first read the story, it says Green Lantern revealed as gay. I was like, wow. Then I started thinking, it's not going to be Hal Jordan, because of the whole Carol Ferris thing, and Star Sapphire, and all the things that have happened throughout Hal's life. It wouldn't make any sense at all. It's not going to be Jon Stewart. He's too busy being evil right now, killing Green Lanterns. It's not going to be Guy Gardner because, let's face it, they would never do that. Kyle Rayner's an artist, but it just didn't fit. What I didn't think of was that it was going to be Alan Scott. And then when I find out that it's Earth 2's original Green Lantern, Alan Scott, my reaction was, like, who gives a shit? That's my reaction.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, okay, if you don't know, anybody listening to this, who's actually listening to this, DC, even in the new universe, still has a stupid concept of the multiverse, which is not stupid, but they just overdid it the first time go around. Which
way
is
to me, overdid it.
Which is to me a huge just mistake in DC myth lore anyway. But apparently, there's the multiverse concept is you are living right now, listen to me, in a universe. Now, there are different universes where something different could be different in your life timeline. So, you know, if you're married, there's a version of you somewhere out there in La La Land that is not married, that has no kids, that has a different job, that has a different outcome, that lives somewhere else in life. But it's you, your name, parents, personality, whatever. It's the same thing, except different outcomes in your life.
Yeah.
DC kind of does that too. Highlander, think of it that way. The Jet Li's the one, same kind of scenario and concept. DC likes to play with this way too much. So apparently, in their continuation of the New 52, they started Earth 2, which is not really, what's the word I'm looking for? Fucking relevant.
It doesn't matter.
That's
it
like,
just doesn't matter.
That's like me telling you as a reporter, hey, we're going to make a starter out of somebody in this baseball lineup. Oh, I meant to say in our AA league, though.
Right.
Who gives a shit?
It's just the only reason the multiverse even happened, at least in my belief, or largely, is so that they could have all these different scenarios with which to write stories once they pretty much extended all they could do with what they had written. It's like, all right, well, we've got another version of this character, and we can have him do the opposite next time, and then we'll have that many more books that we can sell and make money. It's all about money, but it became complex and convoluted, so that's why the reboot happened. But you had an opportunity, much like The Office had a chance to kick Catherine Tate off in the season finale. We'll get to that momentarily. You had an opportunity to end the multiverse and get back to something that makes sense to everybody, and they still didn't do it, which is stunning to me.
Well, to me, it's just, I don't know. Now you're opening that can of worms all back over again of, killing off people, and it doesn't matter in a few months. You know, like, killing off Green Arrow, and then another Green Arrow from another timeline, another right. Earth, 23.5, comes over, jumps time shifts, and is like, oh my god, you're alive? No, I'm actually a dude, you don't know me. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it makes no sense. And it's just a cop out. It was just,
it's a way to, it's a way to, like, advertise big character deaths, but not really. Like, bring him back in 6 months, like, ah, we were just joshing. We were just funning. Here he is. It's like, it's the same kind of thing as even when they quote unquote killed off Batman with what happened in Final Crisis, just threw him back into another time where he was lost. No pun intended to the television show, which kind of bears striking resemblance in some capacities. But it just, yeah, cop out is the right word for it. It's just a cheap way for them to just kind of make the cake and eat it too, I guess.
It cheats death and it cheats any kind of sadness I would have. Same year that Batman quote unquote died, Captain America quote unquote died.
Yeah.
And that reasoning of him coming back is just beyond even worse than Batman's. Darkseid's little thing, whatever. It's stupid too, but it's like, oh, no one ever knows what the Omega Relay really does or power. I'm like, shut up. Captain America's like, oh, right in between the time where he got shot, we actually took his entity and soul and we translated him back through time and made him time jump till he comes back to the present day. If I'm not mistaken, that's exactly what Batman did it not?
Yeah, I think so. And think it's even so.
Stupid. I mean, here's the thing. To get out my frustration in the whole comic book death situation, just anybody listening, YouTube Death of Superman, I can't remember what else it's called. It's like 15 minutes long. It's basically a guy, I can't remember the guy's name. He narrates it and kind of gives you the whole short summary of the 1990s flawed story of the death of Superman, which basically is a joke. And it starts this whole thing of comic book deaths and coming back from the dead and how it's just so cheap nowadays. And whenever I hear a rumor or read a rumor like someone's going to die, I'm like, for how long?
Yeah, the other thing about it is when they killed off Steve Rogers and the storyline brought Bucky in to be the replacement Captain America, it was a great idea. Like him having to try and make himself internally understand that he was capable of being this iconic character, even despite having mental issues and all this, and trying to learn how to use the shield and be this virtuous man and do the right thing and all this. It was really good. They could have kept that forever. And Steve Rogers just could have been, you know, the father of Captain America and the inspiration for Bucky and the inspiration for Marvel. They never needed to bring Steve Rogers back. They just didn't, because when he was dead, that was basically, one of the only two big things that happened in Civil War before they tried to rewrite it to where none of it happened. Spider-Man being unmasked and Captain America dying. Are those pretty much the two biggest things that came from Civil War?
And that just got written off once you make a deal with the devil? Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, brand new day.
I mean, you know, like I said, the point of the story is, you know, these multi-universes just don't matter. So for DC to say, oh, one of our huge iconic characters of all time is being written to be gay. Well, first off, tell me that they're not lying by saying, no, we didn't feel the pressure from Marvel at all because Northstar is getting married and they're big, giant,
right,
Freeman issue that's like the number one, like is approaching to be the number one selling comic in like the longest time, which is, to me, that's fine and dandy. But, I mean, I don't know. I just...
That hasn't released yet, has it? Or has it?
I think it releases this month.
Yeah, I have like a... When I went to the comic shop to pick up my stuff a couple of days ago, they gave me like a sticker that shows the nuptials, like you're invited, kind of blah, blah, blah. I'm like, am I really supposed to care?
I mean, and it's nothing to do with the gay community or whatever views like that. My point is, it's a comic book. Why is it blown out of that proportion? Because like, if anything else would have happened in a comic book, would anyone really care that much? Would it be in this mass media? But because it has to do with this kind of issue, it's blown up. And Northstar is not even a good character.
No, that's my point. That's when I said, why do I care? It doesn't have anything to do with the gay thing. It has to do with, who the fuck is Northstar? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I know who he is, yes, but why do I give a shit? The answer is I don't, and I can't come up with a reason why I should. Has nothing to do, like, fine and dandy, whatever you want to do with Closet Thing or whatever. But if you're going to do it, you might as well pick a character that's relevant. That, to me, proves cowardice because you don't want to hurt monetarily a character that's really important to you. Similar, same thing that DC's doing with this Lantern thing. But you're going to do this North Star character, which is going to, there's a bunch of people that are going to pick it up because it's historic. But nobody's going to wear North Star merchandise. I'm not even sure there is North Star merchandise.
Oh,
I'm serious. I don't understand, like, I don't understand that. Another thing I don't understand, and what's happening is going long, but damn it, it's been a good segment, so we're going to keep on rolling. WSOP new TV rules. I mentioned these to you right before we went on the air because I knew you'd have some things to say about it, similar to my own take on it. But short and skinny is, they want to make WSOP better for TV because we all know that's why people play poker, is to be on TV. I'm sure that's what the pros all care about more than anything else. But they're encouraging chatter during hands, when you're out of hands, and then they're encouraging you to celebrate winning hands. On top of that, they want vocal, verbal announcements of bet, check, raise. Those words particularly have to be said every time because it makes things more audience friendly. And there have been some players that have balked at it. Negreanu is part of the Players Advisory Council. He doesn't think it should be enforced. There was another guy, Jonathan Aguiar, who's sort of outspoken in the poker world anyway, who has come out against all this kind of stuff. My take on it, and then I'm going to let you rant, is let these guys play the way they've played. There's no, you remember when they tried to do a new basketball in the NBA and people's hands just started getting obliterated? They couldn't handle it. The shots were down. Assists were way down. Turnovers were way up. Don't change things that work, particularly just for TV. Fix your graphics, make them easier to understand, do whatever you want to do to dumb it down for people. But when I watch poker, I don't watch because I'm curious or because I'm clueless as to when somebody is betting. Let me know how much money you're raising. I understand that, and I understand all in because that's classic and it's necessary. But for me to say check and raise or bet or whatever like that, to me is completely ludicrous, and I understand why the players are upset, because it's completely unnecessary.
I don't know. First off, the only time you really, if you have to verbalize something at the table, only a few times you have to do it, you have to verbalize all in. Totally get that. You have to verbalize a raise on top of a bet. Now you right. can, if someone checks and the next person throws out whatever, as long as it's over whatever the blinds are or in the pot, whatever, that's a bet. Whatever lands in there past the betting line is a bet. Now, after the bet, someone can raise, but you have to announce raise. Otherwise, it doesn't count, or it's a string bet. I get those issues. Now, wasting time to having to say check, just so viewers at home can understand that you checked, is stupid. If you don't understand what a check is or that someone checks, you don't need to be watching.
Exactly.
Second off, you're wasting time. And it's more boring because you're wasting time to watch someone say check. And here's the thing. If it's boring for the viewers and you have to get to the point where you, as a ESPN, to be like, well, we need to get some more action by having some more table chatter and having them say check so people understand, don't stream it. Poker is boring. I love poker to death. I will literally watch poker all day if I could. I mean, I went to Tunica, and I think I told you guys a couple weeks back, and that week before I went to Tunica, I watched nothing but high-stakes poker in my old WPT DVDs all week long. Just refresh them stuff.
Of course, you don't see every hand there either.
Hell no, man. Poker is boring as hell.
You see one of what, every 37 hands?
I would never, unless you, my friend, were in like the main event and you needed support, I would never watch someone play poker live. That shit is boring. I mean, I love golf too. But unless I'm following someone like Lucas Glover or Bubba or Tiger or something like that, golf is boring as hell too. I don't want to watch every little thing that happens. That's just shit's boring. So don't stream it. How's that? And if you want some kind of action poker, then ESPN, buy the rights of fucking high-stakes poker from Game Show Network and put that shit on ESPN2 late night. I guarantee people watch that shit.
Yeah, because it's awesome.
Yeah, and they have banter. They have chance because – Those guys know each other. They're comfortable with each other. Yeah. They're not Daniel Garner with nine strangers. They're not Mike Mattisau with a bunch of online people. They're friends bullshitting, throwing out real money.
Do you remember when FSN did like a marathon where it was about 18 hours where they showed a live tournament for the first time ever? It was like on Super Bowl Sunday one year or something like that, and they showed every hand. It was one of the most coma-inducing, brutal things to try and watch. I was so psyched. I'm like, yes, totally forgot how shitty poker is. Like, I mean, as a whole, like, outside of the big moments, like, unless you're actually playing it, that shit is not entertaining.
I mean, and the thing can be said about some games, too.
Don't even make it to the flop.
I mean, you know, things can be said the same way about, like, baseball. Baseball, you don't want to see every single thing that happens in the game. Like, on television, you don't want to see the pitchers warm up. You don't want to see, like, you know, the catchers and stuff getting their shit all adjusted for the inning, you know, starts over. You don't want to see the seventh inning stretch. You know, show the meat. Show the stuff that's going to be exciting. You know, same thing with poker. Not a lot of things are exciting, admittedly, unless you know what to watch for, unless you got someone to root for, unless you want to watch somebody in particular. Majority of poker is boring, unless you know what to look for. So, but to tell people to change how they play for the sake of TV, because you're streaming live or whatever, totally disrupts the game. It disrupts how people play, and it disrupts, like, just the game itself. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't want to do it.
And
I'm
disrupts
all
a routine for people that have been playing poker for 20 years.
I mean, I've been playing home games, obviously, for like 7-8 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very quiet at the table unless I'm out of the hand and I'm just bullshitting with some friends. But during a hand or after a hand, I'm quiet. I'm honestly civil. I don't throw down. I don't get mad. I used to be that kind of guy, but I haven't in the past couple of years. I've very controlled. If I know I have the best hand and I flip it over, I'm going to flip the hand over right away. I'm not going to drag it out to show that I have four aces or have a fucking straight flush to show the whole world I'm the greatest poker player in the world. No, I'm going to show my hand if I know I got the best hand, scoop my pot, move on with the next damn hand. I'm a fucking civil guy. I like playing. It's a gentleman's game. To me, poker is a gentleman's game, and there should be an underwritten rule where, like, you just need to play with some dignity and some respect to others.
And that's all I got to say about that.
Pretty much. So, new rule, stupid.
It is. All right. One final thing I wanted to talk about is these Father's Day sales for Best Buy. I'm not talking about for HD TVs and appliances and things like that, because that's not really fodder for us. But some of the DVD deals they're doing, particularly on box sets right now, are really good. I've taken advantage of some of them. I have some reward zone stuff to burn, but full series TV is really on sale right now. Deadwood, Blu-rays, which is a beautiful set, by the way, if you haven't actually seen it in person. Regularly $130 is $60. Buffy, the complete series, which is usually about $200, is $79. West Wing also, I think, is $89, down from like $160. Like, basically, most of the TV series that you would care about, almost all of them are on sale. And then single season things, Breaking Bad Season 1, $12.99. Breaking Bad Season 10, I'm talking about Blu-rays here. Season 2, $17.99. Season 3, $22.99. Season 4 releases Tuesday, and it's releasing on sale at $24.99. These are all Blu-ray prices. Mad Men's were all $17.99. Blu-rays. All the Fringes right now are $19.99. Blu-rays. All the Big Bang Theories that are on Blu-ray are $19.99.
Father's Day's not even for another 2 weeks, isn't it?
What?
Father's Day's not even for another 2 weeks, isn't it?
I think it's the 13th, right? Isn't it this coming Sunday?
I thought it was the third Sunday of the year.
I'm pretty sure it's this Sunday, but I could be wrong. But I think the sales run through like 15th or whatever. So if you've been waiting around, waiting to pick up TV seasons in particular, now's the time. Because almost all of them, for men particularly, are on sale. Almost all of Whedon's stuff is on sale right now. I don't think Angel is, but Buffy is. True Calling is. Firefly is always cheap anyway, so you can find that. So you know, those are things to at least look in. And then there's, you know, movies like Fast Five and stuff like that are on sale this week for $12 on Blu-ray. Super 8. Lots of good things to check out. So if you've been waiting around, waiting on movies, TV, whatever it is, Best Buy might be somewhere you might want to venture this week because they have a lot of really killer sales. I've luckily been able to take advantage of some of them. to complete some things that I should have done a long time ago. And the very final thing that we hit before we hit our main topic is saying goodbye to Richard Dawson, who is one of the most iconic game show hosts you'll ever see. But a lot of people forget he was in Hogan's Heroes. And he was in The Running Man, son. Killian, you saw The Running Man, right?
Shit. What?
Did you see The Running Man?
How old are you?
I'm about 5 years older than you, so maybe you haven't.
That's a whole generation, homeboy. Nope.
Yeah, you need to watch that. It's a good movie anyway. Also, saw the Total Recall preview, the new one.
I'm actually for it.
I don't know, man. Like, that film's a classic. It's not like I'm not going to see it, but I'm not expecting to be, like, thrilled by it. It's certainly interesting, some of the things they're doing, but it's... That movie's a classic, man. There's no get ready for a surprise in that movie. There's no consider that a divorce.
By the way, listeners, June 17th, Father's Day. Get your dad something nice.
2 weeks from today.
Get him something nice, or Jason will come to your house with a baseball bat.
Louisville Slugger, son.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, and this time I'm actually going to throw the soundbite in. Here's Linda Richman.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll give you a topic. The Romanesque church design was based on the Roman basilica. Discuss.
No, I think it's going to be you swallowing again. That was awesome last week. I was like, what the hell was that?
I didn't even realize it until you mentioned it, because I didn't listen to the whole podcast.
What, swallowing?
No, it's not putting those sounds in.
Nice. Whoops. Good work.
All right, thank you, Ms. Richman. Thank you, Ms. Richman. Main topic, TV finales. We said
welcome to the jungle.
This marks about a year since we actually started doing this officially. We had, you know, done a lot of stuff we never released for a couple of months, but the first one we ever actually officially released was the TV finales.
Well, happy birthday, Danny DeVito and us.
Yeah, happy birthday to Danny DeVito. All right, it's TV finales. We talked about a lot of these same shows last year. I think we even tried to rank the finales. We may do that at the end, but we're just going to start off on Monday night stuff. And How I Met Your Mother ended. And I made a point to tell you several times during the season this year that I thought the season was maybe the best since 3. I really enjoyed it a lot. But I'll tell you what, that finale did not leave me nearly as excited as I thought it would considering the lead up to it.
There's the thing about How Much Mother in the past with seasons 3, 4, 5 in particular, where after watching it, I get geared up for the next season immediately. Because they leave you with the little voiceover cliffhangers of like the one where Ted starts teaching at the college, and he goes, and as you know, kids, your mother was in that class.
Yeah,
those kinds of things, and like those little life lessons he leaves you off with, like taking the leap and all kinds of stuff. Like it's so great. And like last year in particular with the whole wedding thing, you're like, holy shit, Barney's getting married. Who's getting married to? And now, I don't feel that. And I don't know because maybe they showed too much, or maybe they didn't show me what I wanted. But I swear to God, Carter Bays and
Craig Thomas
are just, they're awful liars, and liars are awful human beings. So you just relate that first right there, saying, oh, this year you'll definitely see the mother. Fuck you guys.
You know what liars should have to deal with?
Burning pants.
The claw.
Yeah, Billy, the claw. But seriously, so first off, we get to see who Barney's marrying, which, no shocker to me, is in fact Robin. Not the stripper, which, by the way, I liked her a lot in the show. She actually had good chemistry with Barney. She fit well with the others more than other, like, cameos who've tried to merge on with the strong, you know, main five, like Cal Penn with Robin, which made no sense and no chemistry to me. Jennifer Morrison with Ted, which is fine, but you know, the thing that bothers me with How Much Mother with Ted is, like, When a character comes on as a main character for him to date, you almost immediately know that person is not the mother. So why should I get emotionally involved thinking, oh my God, she's going to be the one, or this is going to go far, or whatever, where you just know as a viewer, she's not going to be around. So to me, immediately in my head, I click off. I don't really care.
It's like you're watching a story, but you already know it's not the end because the show's not about how I dated your mother. It's about how you met her. So it's right. like the moment you'll know the mother because the meeting will have this high narration over it.
There's going to be that spark in chemistry. Kind of like in real dating, in real life, when you meet someone and you just know that's going to go somewhere. It's kind of like the first episode of How Much Mother with that whole slow motion turn over the shoulder look from Ted and Robin. Like, that was cool, and that was a good emotion. And then at the very end, when he's like, oh, and that kid's how I met your Aunt Robin. You felt that chemistry throughout the first episode of the show so much, and then you get fucked at the end, and you're like, damn, this is a good show.
Yeah.
I haven't really felt that in a long time with any characters for his, and just be like, man, this is going to work out. No, like, and now he's back with Vanessa? Of Victoria?
Well, I guess
doesn't
so.
Doesn't feel natural again? I'm just like, really?
I guess he's back with her. Like, when it comes back, knowing Baze and Thomas, they could have already broken up, and we see everything that happened in that sunset drive in 2 minutes, and then she's gone. That's the thing. Here's the other thing. Bob Saget's getting up in age. They need to finish this off so we don't have to have a different narrator.
Like, it actually has to be...
They need to have Bob Saget record his stuff now just in case he were to die. Because I think they're a different narrator. I have to finish the show out.
They did that with the kids. I do know that. The kids from season one, they've already recorded with them, like, their reactions and stuff like that of finding out who the mother is and stuff like that. And they had to sign a contract when they stopped using them on the show.
Not to reveal it.
Exactly. Or to
the
say
thing
like,
about it is, in this day and age, I can't imagine, I can't believe that it hasn't revealed itself at this point. If they've actually recorded all that kind of stuff, or maybe they just recorded a reaction but don't know who the mother is. Because the story wasn't written, but we want to make sure before you get too old that you see the end of this story. Or whatever right. like that. Like, the only person that might would potentially know would be Bob Saget.
No, that's awful if Bob Saget holds the key to everything. I still say, if you want to redeem all the bad loops and everything they've thrown at us so far, if you just make it where Ted's just super obliterated and high out of his mind and everything for the past 7 up to 8, maybe 9 seasons, well, it's just been a dream, I might be okay with that if you can pull it off. I might be okay with it.
The new hard ending?
Yeah.
The thing about it is, the last season ended at Barney's wedding, and then this season ended at Barney's wedding. And the only difference is we saw who the bride was. But that's it. We didn't see the ceremony. We didn't see the lead up. We didn't see any of that kind of stuff. So really, they just gave us one extra little piece. It's like they're trying to, like, hold out this puzzle in front of the audience. But it's starting to wear thin because I don't think that show has more than 2 more years left in it. I just don't.
To me, it's like a magic eye that doesn't work. It's like you stare at it and you're watching it because you want something to happen. But then in the end, you're like, I think I see a spaceship. No, it's actually a fish, dumbass.
Yeah.
But to me, the thing that ruins it for me is, and you may have talked about this in the past with this show, how we don't like it when Ted's a douchebag or...
Right.
What's the word I'm looking for? He's a douche.
Pretentious.
And at the same time, he was sentimental when he's driving Victoria. He's like, you know what? We're going to your wedding. I was left at the altar, blah, 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 and I couldn't do it to someone else. That was sentimental. It was heartfelt. I was like, okay, maybe he'll go to Barney's wedding and find someone else, like he's supposed to, supposedly at the wedding. Well, then within, what, a commercial break that he just kept driving, and they're holding hands in the sunset, like that's supposed to be a good thing. You just took back your word in like 5 minutes.
It just,
how does that make me root for you?
Yeah, that there have been moments where it's been harder to root for Ted because the show has almost not even focused on him at all. And then when you do see him, he is a complete nut job who's just a lunatic and a loser. And they had done a good job of making him not be that guy most of this season. And then the lasting impression you get is, no, he's still selfish and doesn't have any idea how to go after what he wants. Because I think the last, as cool as the Vanessa thing is, the whole thing where she basically told him it's time to get rid of Robin, like out of your life so that you can grow up, that should have been the last time we saw her because that was a turning point for the Ted Mosby character. His realization that, yes, she's right. It's time to move on. It's time to look towards the future. And then at the very end, no, he's looking right back towards the past, just in a different way.
Yeah.
So Everything to How I Met Your Mother wasn't. I thought The Big Bang Theory was. I was very happy with that finale. Am I alone?
The Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
No, I liked it a lot, too. And to me, it's like, The Big Bang Theory, is it me or the writers? They make it so easy with the flow of the story. Like, to me, there's no main story except for these characters just having fun and living their life. It's a simple formula. There's no huge dynamic that you need to fix or keep going along with, like How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy watching Big Bang Theory. Like, I don't stress out. I don't get angry. Like, oh, my God, why did Wallowitz do this or blah, blah, blah. Like, why did – I mean, the only time that really happened was obviously with the whole Penny and Leonard thing back in, what, season 3 when old Wheaton broke him up?
Yeah, the bowling alley.
Yeah, I mean, that was really the only thing, and I was like, eh. But, you know –
the show doesn't take itself so seriously all the time. It's like, yes, there are a couple congruent things going on. We know who these characters are. We generally know their motivations. But everything's not so heavy-handed all the time, so that when they are completely silly, it's still believable. To me, when How I Met Your Mother goes completely off the rails and goes really nutso in terms of the crazy stuff, it's hard to believe it because you've seen all this heavy-handed stuff in their lives. Yet, almost all of them act like three-year-olds half the time. On The Big Bang Theory, they're always kind of acting like five-year-olds, and then there's something there. Like the Wallowitz, when Bernadette kind of broke it off with Wallowitz there for a second, and he ended up going back and making that speech to Penny in the doorway this year. Mm-hmm. Like, that showed maturity in Wallowitz, but you still know Howard's in there. But you've made me a better man and this kind of stuff. There's been growth to those characters, but again, it's just so much more light and fluffy to watch an episode of The Big Bang Theory than it is to watch many of the episodes of How I Met Your Mother, mm-hmm. would be my argument. Plus, I like the way they did the wedding.
Like, no, absolutely.
It all worked out really well, and, you know, him going to space and the way that the show ended with all them. That was the other thing, and I totally forgot about this, but the whole thing at the very end when they're all holding hands, mm-hmm. like watching the TV, watching Wallowitz go, and you can even see Sheldon looking at the TV almost like he has a lot of respect for Howard and really wants him to be safe and all that. Like, that was a wonderfully rendered scene to say goodbye for the season. That's why Big Bang is one of the top shows on TV in terms of ratings, because those characters all have defined roles and they stay generally within their lanes. But then every once in a while they'll throw something at you, but not to the extent where it makes you want to kill yourself the way that they've done at times in How I Met Your Mother.
Right. I think, what was it, too, the, this side character they bring in at times, like, Bernadette's dad was really good.
Yeah.
Was it the line when he hands off Bernadette to Wallowitz, and she goes, what am I, a football?
Yeah.
He does it properly, hands him down, and then, as he turns around, like, says to himself, yeah, like, that kid could catch a football. I was like, damn.
The other great line he had was a couple episodes before, it's like, she'll be fine, or like, you'll be fine. You guys will be all right. She'll find somebody else. She's cute. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just that show has hit on a comedic note. I did not like the Priya thing. I made no bones about that last year. But I really enjoyed almost every episode this year. Even when they still tried to do the Raj is not gay, but he is gay thing, which they still did from time to time, mm-hmm. and I just think it's unnecessary for that show. It was well done, and I loved all the cameos this year, be it Stephen Hawking or whoever it was that came on, Wheaton coming back in a really cool – the Bachelor Party episode was hilarious.
Oh, you talking about Brett Spiner?
Yeah, just all the stuff that was going on, just really well
Leonard
done
Nimoy,
in general. Yeah, that was my favorite. The Spock toy was awesome. But I thought it was a really good season of that show, and I'm really looking forward to that show coming back.
The episode where Amy was seducing Sheldon?
Yes.
Was great with the whole Mario music and the spaghetti with the cut-up weenies in it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
All right, so there's How I Met Your Mother and The Big Bang Theory. Next, Modern Family. There's not as much to say here because this show does have a storyline, but not, again, it's more of a show-by-show thing. We know that Cam and Mitchell were looking for a new child, and that kind of gets figured out. And we knew Haley's about to go off to college. But other than that, there's not a whole lot going on there. But I still really enjoyed the whole season. I thought the finale was good.
I like the Disneyland episode a lot.
Yeah.
Dylan coming back was kind of excruciating at times, but it was just funny how they brought him back. Him fighting in the Big John suit. The thing, I really was confused with the season finale. I was, and it was maybe something I need to rewatch and just lost. Like, the whole hospital scene really, like, aggravated me a little bit at times. I didn't really get it. I knew, like, it was a joke because it was making fun of, like, you know, the Spanish soap operas.
Yeah.
But was that real or fake? I couldn't tell.
It was real because, you know, after that, Mitchell walked out at the gas station.
And cried.
Laying on the ground. He's like, I can't do this anymore. And Cam said, you know what? Let's take a break. Let's not do this. And that's kind of it. It was like, yes, it was a joke, but it was real. It was satire within a real situation. I thought it was pretty funny. But it was basically revealing that
we're
probably
Laura
not going to have
pregnant?
A second kid. Yeah, that was a little...
I'm proud of Ed O'Neill. Is that necessary, though?
No.
Do we really... like? To me, and you know the whole thing with sitcoms and shows, like, the whole thing is like when you have a wedding, you have a baby, or what are the other big things in a TV show like this? You move? Or
you move,
new
you have
characters?
A baby, you bring in a new character.
Like, those are signs of, like, jumping the shark or you hitting a stale point.
Yeah.
Like, Big Bang, they brought in Amy Farrah Fowler 2 seasons ago, and that's gone off really well. Surprisingly, like, 2 years ago, we hated it at the time. Now it's like, man, she just seems like she's been on this show forever, and it's great.
I agree.
Like, How Much Mother, when they bring on a guest character for a few spots, it's really off. Like, Don was okay, but they really fucked with him really bad, and they let him go off that show awfully badly. And then, oh, he gets that, like, what was that, Working Girls or something like that on ABC?
Right. Work
for one episode? Work it? Yeah. And then, like, you know, just their guest stars don't really last, but, like, Farrah Fowler, it just seems like she just naturally fits. So, like, Modern Family...
Bernadette
like,
worked the same way.
Exactly. So, like, their guest stars and new characters coming in didn't really make feel like they were jumping the shark or they're getting stale. It actually made it better. It brought new dynamics to the whole, like, show.
It's either done really bad or really badly. In terms of Modern Family... really good and really badly, excuse me. In terms of Modern Family... the core of that show is still so good, there's no need for another character. Like, you can just keep putting these people in ridiculous situations and be clever in the way you write. You know, Stephen Levitan, Christopher Lloyd, the people associated with the show. You don't need this. So, if she's pregnant, that'll be an interesting storyline. But there's already, here's the other thing, there's already well enough kids on the show as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason to bring somebody else on that you have to try and develop or tell stories about. It's just unnecessary. The show at its best this year. Love the stuff with David Cross and the whole her running for office thing. Like running for local office and all that. Really like that. And Phil, the business stuff. And everything that worked is still the stuff that's worked from the beginning. I think when you try to veer out too far, you do risk you do take a risk of maybe jumping the shark. I don't think Modern Family has jumped the shark because I felt like season 3 was much better than season 2.
No, I'm not saying it's gotten better. It has. So that's what I mean, like, was shocking. Like, to me, Gloria being pregnant is just really unnecessary.
Desperate move that they don't need.
Pretty much.
They're not desperate, and the show still does really well.
That's like the Heat being up by 40 and LeBron taking the buzzer beater for no reason.
Yeah.
So... why is my question.
But there's not as much to say about Modern Family again because the stories, it's not like we've been following all these long plots that dictate a bunch of what's going on. Another show that moves from episode to episode is Community. And it's now been relegated to Friday nights at 8:30.
Which is a death sentence.
Well, it was already in its half season and out. And then the day after the finale... they informed Dan Harmon he's no longer going to be showrunner and executive producer. And it's his show. He created it. He writes it. He's responsible for all the things that have happened on it. So he's going away. But what a way to go out. That triple episode finale was so ridiculously great that it just indicated how good Dan Harmon can be and made me wish NBC would just leave him the hell alone. And even if they had left him alone in the past, because they wanted to try and get him to appeal to more an audience and stop being so crazy with it. If they did that, the show would not be good. The talent's still there.
No,
but
they
it's
want
Dan Harmon's ideas that made the show.
What was crazy is, like, we want you to appeal to more audience so you can bring in the ratings. Fuck you, NBC. Move the show to 9 o'clock, where no one's watching The Office anymore, and Big Bang isn't on. That's on you guys. You want to bring in more ratings, put Community in a better slot. Put The Office, which has been dead to me for a year and a half, like, at 8 o'clock. Leave Parks at 8:30, and 30 Rock, wherever, after the season. I don't know what you want to do with the 9:30. But that's not on Dan Harmon to bring you ratings and to change the whole show and what it means. Like,
The reason the show is so good is because Dan Harmon has still made it his own.
Right.
He hasn't succumbed to all this, and he's even gone even further at times to not make it mainstream. But that level design video game episode, I was just like, my God. Like, this season alone, we got that episode and we got that Law and Order. Just, that's my favorite episode in the history of the show. Absolutely love that. That's right.
The dice?
Yeah, that's up there.
The realities, the one with the hologram, the holodeck.
Even the whole story with the air conditioning, which I didn't know if that was ever going to go anywhere. I love the way that ended.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so well done. It's just like, this show is great. There's just, I don't understand and I started thinking to myself, what if Community had been on Comedy Central all along and never on NBC? I don't think Community is an HBO show is what I'm saying, but on a cable network where they just take their hands off and let the people be creative. Think of what Community could have been if it wasn't expected to do NBC-level ratings. And by the way, they're not very good.
That's exactly what I was going to say, so thank you.
I mean, Awake was a great show. And the ratings were atrocious, and it's gone. But next year, NBC is getting rid of Community, Parks, and 30 Rock all at midseason. They're all done. And Community is just as strong as it ever was. The way it finished season 3 was just magnificent. And it's just sad. And the good news is the people that are coming in to do it are the people from Happy Endings, which is a show I caught up fully with over the last few weeks. I watched both seasons, and I love that show. And it's absolutely fantastic, and there's a lot of meta involved in that show, a lot of pop culture references, which I didn't expect, by the way, when I started watching it. But I think these people will write a show that will still have a Community feel to it. But if you're going to kick the show anyway, mid-season next year, why not let Dan Harmon just finish it up on his own terms and not try to do this and have the Happy Endings folks come in and do their own show, another new show for NBC maybe. Whatever. I mean, I think those guys are really talented, but Dan Harmon's one in a million. There's nobody else that I've ever seen that have done the kinds of things in a mainstream 30-minute sitcom medium like what Dan Harmon's done. To me, he's completely changed the game.
The only other show that could even come remotely close to the references in the nerd material, Chuck and Big Bang, because they talk about it, but would they ever pull it off? Hell no.
Well, I mean, it's the meta and the show within a show mentality of Community that differentiates it from so much else. And Chuck would do it from time to time. Big Bang just talks about it as fanboys.
Yeah, I mean, like, there would be times where Sheldon goes and talks about Firefly for a split second. People go, you know?
What if CBS were smart enough to run Big Bang at 8 and pick up Community at 8:30?
That would
run them back to back.
Oh, my God.
Just think about that for a second.
It's
not going to happen, but think about it.
TBS bought Cougar Town.
Yeah, that's good. It's a great show. But, it's great. But Dan Harmon's new show is going to be on Adult Swim this fall. And so Community is going to die after this half season. And it's just a shame. But I will tell you this. That show will be the kind of thing people will still be talking about in 25 years.
Well,
because it's so original. If they still understand the references.
Well,
that's the only thing that could
the
maybe
people who
give
actually watch
this.
It's not like I think this. I think in the first 2 years, once Community is over, it'll still be kind of,
I feel like it's going to be a Family Guy.
It'll be like in a stale market. Yeah, but once like everything starts rolling, people buy the DVDs, once like they're on sale and stuff like that, then that culture will burst out like Firefly and Serenity and stuff like that and Angel and Buffy and all that, like Weed and stuff.
Yeah.
Then it'll burst out, and people are like, holy hell, we missed out.
Yeah, and it's going to age well because there's just so much talent involved in it, and it's just a shame that it's going to go out the way that it does. By the way, it's part of that Best Buy sale. Community Season 1, $12.99. Season 2, $19.99. So if you've never watched Community, for $32, you can have the first two seasons on DVD with all those outtakes, which are absolutely ridiculous.
They're worth watching in absolutely. General. Like, I love outtakes and I love little bits, but these outtakes on these in particular discs, they're on each one of the discs. So you'll watch four or five episodes each disc. Then there's like 15 minutes of outtakes from each of those four or five episodes. And the shows, like, the thing I always love about sitcoms is when you can tell, and same thing with movies, when the actors are basically given free flow. They're just given that moment where, you know, in this spot here, say whatever comes to mind. Just fucking have fun with it.
Yep.
And in this show, it's that's what it is. And a lot of times, same thing with like Reno. Reno, like majority of Reno 911 was improv and ad lib, and that's what I love about stuff like that. So,
no, agreed. Another show that's going to be getting the axe mid season next year is Parks and Recreation. Not much to say here except holy shit, how great is that show, and how great was that finale, and how wonderfully serious and smart that speech from Leslie Knope was to the constituents after she won the recount. That was like, Parks is such a crazy show from time to time, but when we need to, we can bring it together and really knock it out of the park on a completely different level, and that's what they did. It was perfect.
That speech was amazing, and the one that she made during the debate was really well done, too.
Yeah.
And
Paul Rudd, as always, is great in everything.
Oh, he played his character phenomenally.
Bobby Newport was a great character. But everything about it was good. I mean, obviously, Ron Swanson and Tom Haverford's always going to be great. But just April and Andy continue to be wonderful. That show's just
so good. Here's what I like about that
so
show.
Good.
It's just like we kind of talked about with How I Met Your Mother. This show, this season, left you with a lot to look forward to next season.
Exactly.
It left you with the fact that you know that Amy Poehler's character Leslie won, so she's going to be in a different role. You know that she is still going to be dating Ben, but long distance because he's been working on a congressional campaign, which is cool.
And that character and that woman we hated in Traffic Light was great on Parks.
Yeah, no, she was great. She did a role.
Yeah.
Ron's going to be Ron, no matter what. Tommy's going to be Tommy. I'm assuming Donna's going to be Donna and Jerry's going to be Jerry or Gary/Gary, however you want to call him. But what was cool to me the most was Andy and April. I would almost watch them in a spinoff.
I'd watch that before the Dwight Schrute spinoff that we're going to get. Huh? I would watch that before the Dwight Schrute show.
Yeah, but here's the cool. They left you with a lot to look forward to because now you're thinking, oh my God, are they going to make Andy a cop?
Yeah.
And April, like, finding her ambition, maybe doing a different role. Like, that's cool to me. It'd be like, I would totally watch that. I totally want to see that. And, like, that's fun in general because, like, what they did is kind of like a real-life scenario. You know, couples do whatever. Like, when you're self-evaluating your life and you just want to find your self-worth. I mean, that was a cool moment.
Yeah, it was. There's just, again, if you have not watched Parks and Recreation, you are doing yourself a disservice as a pop culture fan because it gets almost no better than that show. And the fact that we're only going to get a half season more of that show is also sickening. And with 30 Rock going off as well, it's very interesting to see Amy Poehler and Tina Fey both going off the air. If I were another network, I would find a way to snatch that up. I think 30 Rock may be on its last legs. Parks and Recreation is not. Parks and Recreation going off would be a travesty.
If I was NBC right now, I would be scratching my head. Wait a minute. So we're canceling. We're moving Community and canceling. In other words, we're moving Parks and Rec after the midseason, and we're canceling 30 Rock, or it's ending.
Yep.
What the hell are we going to do on Thursdays?
Yep.
What in the hell are we going to do on Thursdays? Thursdays on NBC, which used to be like the power hours anyway. Must see NBC. Do you remember that slogan? Must see NBC. Now it's just like, what the fuck are we going to do on Thursday night NBC?
They're doing new shows, one with Matthew Perry. I like Matthew Perry a lot.
I do too.
I still think he needs to just be in an Aaron Sorkin show because he just seems made for it. But I don't think that show is going to necessarily do all that well. If you get rid of your entire primetime lineup except The Office, which they continue to think is their saving grace, I don't think they realize it yet, But The Office was atrocious down the stretch.
Let's get into that real quick.
Yeah, that's the last one we were going to speak about that we both watched. It was hideous.
Garbage. Now, the David Wallace thing
was great.
Brilliant.
Yes.
But too late. Too late. That should have been done last year. That should have been done, I think, instead of the whole Will Ferrell thing coming in.
The Will Ferrell thing never should have happened. I love Will Ferrell. But that never should have happened. The series should have ended when Steve Carell was in the airport with Pam. I'm going to say that until the end of time. That was a perfect scene. And since that point, and I, you know, I'm glad Andy and Aaron got together, but I just don't care anymore. We've seen enough of those characters. Like, I always like Jim and Dwight, but it's not really anything about them anymore. And now it looks like Dwight and Angela again. I don't care. Mindy Kaling's leaving the show, which is fine.
Oscar.
Maybe.
Oscar, yeah. And HRG are getting together.
Yeah. It's just, I just think it's gone on too long.
That's right. We made a Heroes reference. We're going to reference Heroes every podcast from this point on to the end of time.
So Mr. Bennett is the first reference. We're going to do a Heroes podcast, but it's going to be all about season one and what should have happened after the penultimate episode of the first season. But the Office finale... They had a way to get rid of Catherine Tate, who everybody hated. There were petitions online to NBC to throw her off the air because they hated her character so much. Instead of that, they give Andy back his job, and then Andy lets her stay. For what purpose was that necessary? Particularly when you get rid of Spader, who went from being decent at first to insufferably annoying by the end. It was just bad. There's just nothing else to say. It was just a terrible.
Even he knew he was insufferable in the end. Yeah. He left the show before the show would end.
Yeah. He was just hideous.
He was like, I'd rather be unemployed than continue working for this show.
So that's all we're going to say about The Office. We're going to do a podcast down in a couple of weeks where we're going to recast The Office.
I'll say we do that right now.
No, we don't have time. We're going to vlog. We'll do that in its own episode because we're going to have some fun with that. Maybe we'll even recast some other shows. But do you want to say anything about Glee?
No, except that it is embarrassingly predictable that it will be over in about one more year. I would guarantee it. And that Ryan Murphy is overrated.
He's been overrated his whole life. Like I said, I watched 3 episodes of Glee. That was enough for me. First 2 seasons of Nip Tuck were great. The rest of it just went off the deep end. American Horror Story started off the deep end.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There is a lot of talent on that show.
Right.
There is a lot of... They do a lot of good things on the show. Like there's some dramatics, and it's over-the-top corny at times. But the themes occasionally they talk about, like, you know, homosexuality, domestic abuse, bullying and school stuff like that. Like, that's great things to talk about for a primetime show, which you know you're going to get young viewers to watch. That's fine. And they do a good job. But the show itself is just like, I don't know why people would watch it longer than one more year.
I think you're about right. The only reason I think that it may survive too because of American Idol, the audience that sticks around. I think Glee still rates fairly well. But I knew it had a small shelf life because Ryan Murphy has a small shelf life, and he always takes it too far. And now you got people graduating right off the show and leaving who are pretty talented, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and now he said before, like, oh no, they'll be back for like cameos and stuff like that. But you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a show in Oxygen. I think season 2 starting this week, the Glee Project, where it's a reality show of contestants. Living together, competing against each other, and so on, like Top Chef. And the winner of each Glee project becomes the new cast member of Glee.
Wow.
Which is cool.
Was this tough enough?
Pretty much. Which is cool, but like, I saw how they used the kid this season. He had one main focus episode, and he just kind of drowned out the rest of the season. I was like, wow.
Mm.
But, you know, job's a job, whatever. But, again, I don't, you know, don't know. I don't see it going past one more season.
What else did you watch anything else that I don't watch that you saw a finale of you wanted to talk about?
Not finale-wise. I've been keeping, and you're probably laughing, I've actually keeping up with America's Got Talent. I wanted to see how Howard Stern was going to be on this season. He's some remarkably really good on the show as what he does.
I'm not surprised by that at all. He's a talented, very smart individual.
People do not give him the respect that he deserves. Because, yeah, he has a bad reputation, but you know what? That's what makes him original. His originality makes him what he is and has gotten him famous what he is. Because, like you just said, he is smart. He knows what he's portraying as. He knows what people see him as. He's just playing off that. He's a character. Big deal.
He's Skip Bayless. He just admits it.
And the thing is, too, is there have been episodes where people who got booed on stage, they got X on stage, they try to be a smart ass to him. Like, well, you know, I would totally take that more serious if I took you seriously. And this is what he did. He goes, oh, is that the case? Well, hold on. Here's me. He stands up, turns around, and, like, asks for the cheers. People would cheer the shit out of him. Howard, Howard. And here's you. And they get booed all the hell. He's like, what do you got to say to that? And he speaks very well, obviously. He is smart. And he's honest. That's straightforward. He's not a vulgar on NBC, because why would they allow him to be vulgar? It's NBC. We just talked about how Dan Harmon's chained down. You know? So I've kept up with it. I think it's enjoyable. I like watching some of the acts on there. Surprisingly, even though I make fun of him at times, I think Nick Cannon's a good host. He brings a lot of energy to the show, and he brings, I think, like certain audience youth and stuff like that. So, and certain people on the show are very inspirational. I watched recently a comedian named Tom Carter. He's in his, I think he's 50 or he's late 40s now. But he's a comedian. He is probably one of the most, and you can just Tom Carter, C-O-T-T-E-R, YouTube him for like 4 minutes on American Got Talent. His delivery is one of the most crisp deliveries I've ever seen a comedian do. He's probably one of the best I've seen on timing. He tells sort of traditional jokes, but the way he spins them and just goes back and forth really fast is uncanny. And the other stuff I've seen on him on YouTube, it's all the same stuff. So the only thing I would say is hopefully if he has new material that I haven't seen on YouTube, I think he can go pretty decent. And I like comedians. Obviously, we talked about it. We even had a comedian podcast thing a couple weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's really good. So if you got time, Tom Carter, give him a shout out.
America's Got Talent, is that Sunday nights?
It's NBC's NBC, so they do it Monday nights, Tuesday nights, and then reruns on like Saturdays and Sundays, I'm sure. So
I had thought about watching it myself. I'd watched a couple episodes in the past, but I was very intrigued by Howard Stern because being in radio myself, I really wanted to. He's unbelievably good at it. I don't care about the salacious content or whatever like that. Just in terms of how he approaches his show, how he prepares for it, how he executes it, I know he's good. I understand why he makes the money he makes. And I wanted to see how that translated onto this show, and I had a feeling he would be really good at it. So your endorsement just makes me all that much more interested in watching it.
Yeah, like I said, I've enjoyed it. I'm probably going to follow every other week because I don't want to come home at the time when it comes on and go out of my way and stuff like that. I mean, you can get them on NBC.com or on your iPad, NBC, you know, app, and watch them all there just like you can any other show on NBC. Except for American Ninja Warrior. You can't rewatch episodes of those, which is disappointing because I really wanted to get into that. But whatever.
Real quick, and then I'll get into my, and I'm going to do them as fast as humanly possible, getting through the stuff that I have seen, some of the finales I wanted to mention. I did want to remind you that Community, Parks and Rec, and 30 Rock all end at half season, and Whitney has a full second season next year. I just wanted to say that.
That's disgusting.
Sure is. Sure as hell is. Out of, what is it, Up All Night does too, but that one I don't have a problem with. And they're putting it on Thursday night, which is where it should have been anyway. So there you go. All right. The show that comes on after Modern Family on Wednesday nights is Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. That show is something you should watch. That show is very good. Not going to say too much about it, except to say that the leads are really good and James Vanderbeek's hilarious. It's well worth your time, and I'm glad that it did well, that it was critically well received, and it's going to be back. Fringe, if you remember from our debut podcast last year, I ripped Fringe's season finale because I just didn't understand why they went that route. Season 4 was brilliant television. There's only 12 more episodes of Fringe to go. Next year, they're going to finish it off, similar to what Chuck did. But the way they finished this season was unbelievable. And Fringe is going to end being one of my all-time favorite shows. Really thinking back on it, going back and watching it from the beginning again some this summer. It's just so good. And it's something that you should watch. It's now being syndicated on the Science Channel. So you have more of an opportunity. You can watch Firefly, stick around for Fringe. Not going to go into detail here again so I can move between them. Person of Interest became one of the best shows on TV around halfway through this season. The allegories to Batman are unmistakable. I wrote a long blog at jmart100.tumblr.com about Person of Interest relative to Batman, about the character of Reese as Bruce Wayne, of Finch as a mixture of Alfred and Commissioner Gordon, pretty much as Alfred. And then with cops inside, with a Commissioner Gordon character, with villains that replicate some of the earlier villains in Gotham lore, it is a very Batman-ish show. But I can tell you that Jim Caviezel's character is the most badass, just beat-down, kicking character on TV. And I think I would take him in a fight over Jack Bauer.
Ouch.
He is unbelievable. That show is can't miss at this point. If you have an opportunity, I don't know how you could see it now. I don't think CBS has an app, but you might be able to watch it online somewhere. Try to watch that show. It's so good. It became the number one drama. It won the People's Choice Award for Best New Drama. It'll be back in the fall. It's really rounded into form, and the way that they let it develop from a story perspective down the stretch was just awesome. Mentalist, they kind of had some weird stuff happen at the end. It's still a really good show. Still really dug the finale. Someday maybe we'll talk more in depth about it, but it's still an excellent program. New Girl ended by kind of teasing one of the main characters leaving, and then at the end pulling the rug back out. I still really like that show. I felt like it got better as it went along. It's still really good, so you should watch it. Happy Endings, again, already mentioned it earlier. It's one of the funniest and most clever shows of that kind of type that I've ever seen. It does mix a lot of pop culture references and just random banter that ends up talking about movies and TV shows with six characters that are either likable or not likable, but infinitely watchable. Damon Wayans Jr.'s character is really good on there. Elijah Cuthbert is not running from Cougars.
Oh,
so that's an advantage. That show's great. You should watch it. And those guys, again, the two showrunners are moving over to run the show with Community. So if you have time this summer, you can watch that. You can see kind of what you would expect from Community in the fall. But definitely a really good show and a surprise because the first couple episodes aren't that great. But then everything else is just gold, almost kind of like how Parks.
You just make two 24 references in that rant, and then you ended it by making your Christopher Walken. It's gold. I don't think you meant to sound like Christopher Walken, but you kind of did. You're like, it's gold. I mean, you asked for these shows.
Hunt it down with a knife.
And you get gold. I mean, come on.
All right. Two Broke Girls watched the finale yesterday. I'd watched every episode, and we've talked positively at first, and then it became more increasingly negative as it went on. I actually liked the season finale.
Did they die?
No. No, but you rooted for them, and the whole thing was about them trying to sneak into this big fundraiser to give Martha Stewart one of the cupcakes. And they, you know, Martha Stewart's on the episode. They bring Chestnut the horse back. They bring some stuff back you haven't seen and tie some things up. Bring back Johnny the street artist. It's still shocking how out of touch it is with being decent in the content. But it was much better than anything I'd seen from that show in at least half a season. It was probably definitely the best one that they've done overall. It gave me some hope that maybe it can grow a little bit, but it's still so juvenile, and I can't understand why Whitney Cummings hasn't figured that out. She is a smart stand-up comedian whose TV show that she's on is hideous. The other one that she was associated with, Chelsea Handler's show, has already been canceled. And now there's Two Broke Girls, which she writes and executive produces and half created, and it's just like one of the most politically incorrect, stereotypical, almost racist kind of shows that you'll ever see. And they even did some things with the Asian character in the season finale, which I thought were almost like the Asian character breaking the fourth wall to say, look, I'm tired of this shit. We're going to get past this and move on and have a better show. So I'm interested to see what they do in the fall.
Told you.
CSI ended with CSI ended with one of the main characters being kidnapped.
Again?
In a different kind of way, and a couple other ones almost being shot.
Who is this?
I can't remember now, because it's been such a long time.
Not Nick again. Oh, is it Nick?
No, it's not Nick. Is it Nick? No, it's not Nick. Nick actually, Mark? Nick quit CSI at the end of the show.
Oh, no, really?
But he's not going to quit.
Wark?
Yeah, no. But the undersheriff is in the episode.
The what?
The undersheriff, the guy who killed Warwick, is back in that episode.
What, did he break out of jail?
No, they bring him in because he's been running. He's got other people working for him on the outside, basically.
Oh, brilliant.
They go into a lot more stuff. I actually like the back half of the season. I really like the Elizabeth Shue edition. Her and Ted Danson work off well together, and the fact that they have a history as characters on the show works out well. Still want to know what the hell is going on with Gil Grissom and Sarah Seidel.
So wait, so is Nick Stokes off the show?
No. He was quitting because of some things that went down, but it's like what happened at the end is going to bring him back kind of thing. You can tell, no, Georgie's isn't leaving the show.
Well, I'm looking at IMDb, so yeah, Georgia Fox, who's kind of, she's pretty at times, but there's times I'm just like, man.
She didn't do a whole lot for me.
No close-ups, that's all I ask. Who the hell is Morgan Brody?
That is an old girl that was on Boy Meets World once. She's like the blonde. Not the blonde that you know. It's blonde that's actually Conrad Eckley's daughter from L.A. She's hot. She's going to end up marrying Greg.
Oh, is she on the team?
Yes.
Maybe I should watch the show some more.
Yeah. It's a lot better now than it was at this point a year ago, I think.
Let me see. So who got kidnapped? You don't know?
I can't remember. I need to watch it again.
Not Sarah, not Greg.
No.
Was it Hodges?
No, it wasn't Hodges.
There's an Olivia Hodges listening to this IMDb for the last episode. Who's Olivia Hodges?
It's her mom. It's his mom, excuse me.
Oh.
Bo Derek.
So wasn't Elizabeth Shue got kidnapped?
I think it may have been.
Let's see. You mean Jacqueline Smith, not Bo Derek?
Jacqueline Smith, I'm sorry, yeah.
Racist.
Got mixed up with Chuck.
Man. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
Anyway, it was good. It was a lot better. CSI down the stretch is better. CSI Miami, that's a wrap for that show. CSI New York got renewed, and Vegas is still here, but Miami's done. Kind of interesting. Once Upon a Time is one of the best shows on TV that nobody really ever thinks about. And the way that it developed and the way that it ended its first season was spectacular. And it's a show that anytime I have a chance to recommend something to people that's more new, the two choices from a drama perspective outside of the obvious A&E and HBO stuff is Person of Interest and Once Upon a Time. Once Upon a Time, which has a lot of people that worked on Lost, and they do a lot of Lost references within the show, just told such a good story. And the way that they let the fairy tale stuff play out in the real world was much better than I ever would have anticipated going into the series. It's definitely one of the shows I can't wait for it to come back and see what it does. It's something that you just have to see. And you can watch all of those on the ABC app. So you actually do have an opportunity to watch that. Another show which kind of came out of nowhere was Grimm, which runs on Friday nights and got picked up for a second season about halfway through the first year. Another strong finale. Another really good series. A lot of people that worked with Joss on Buffy and Angel moved over to work on Grimm. And without going into any detail, it's a good show and you should seek it out. When it comes out on Blu-ray, it's something maybe to think about buying because visually it is stunning. Just like the way it's shot, the lighting, the colors, everything that's used, I imagine in an HD full-on 1080 transfer, it is something spectacular to see. But it's another good show. So that's a list of some of the stuff, or most of the stuff that I've watched outside of what Andy and I have talked about. Tonight, Game of Thrones finale. Can't say much about that yet because Andy's only 4 episodes in. So was I about 4 days ago when I finally had the time to catch up. Have absolutely adored this season. Was shocked at kind of the way that they ended the last episode. I think Andy is with me in this, have not read the books yet. We have them, we just have not had time to read them. That's one of my plans this summer. So me saying I'm surprised how episodes end remarks that I've had these books forever. And it just, they're so long, and it's, I just have not sat down and done it yet. But it's been great. We can't say much about it. The four episodes you've seen, though, Andy, have been good, right?
Absolutely.
Tyrion Lannister, Peter Dinklage, maybe one of the two or three best actors on TV. That Emmy well-deserved, but his character, the way it evolved in season two, has been brilliant. Girls, which either you love or hate. If you're a critic, apparently you love it and think it's one of the greatest things ever. Executive produced by Judd Apatow and written and starring and directed by Lena Dunham. That finale is next week. Don't know what to say because I haven't decided yet whether I absolutely hate it or I really like it. But I can't stop watching it. So I guess that's a good sign for the show. I don't know. And people seem to rip on Veep, but I really like Veep, which is Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Anna Chlumsky and Tony Hale. And it has a very Arrested Development feel to me in the way that it's paced and the way the dialogue is delivered. But it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Vice President of the United States. It's not really ideological. It just shows these people in their, you know, daily lives, professionally, what they go through. But the banter and the way the dialogue's delivered is just really good. So when you get a chance to watch that down the line, if you have on demand, if you subscribe to HBO, I personally put my seal of approval on it. Apparently a lot of people don't like it, but I really dig it, so who gives a shit? And then Mad Men finale next week. Are you caught up on Mad Men?
No, I'm far behind.
Where are you on Mad Men?
Like, episode 5?
Yeah, you got a ways to go. Last week was the best episode probably since The Suitcase, and it felt like the sequel to The Suitcase. And it ended in a way that if it actually is true, it completely changes the show, and I would be stunned if it, or I'd be shocked if it's actually what happens. But two more episodes of that show tonight and then next week, and then they're done. Also, 2 weeks ago, James Lipton brought on the cast of Mad Men for their official In the Actor's Studio, Inside the Actor's Studio on Bravo. It runs here and there. They're still repeating it. I've actually downloaded a copy of it. It's fantastic. You should definitely watch that. So as we move on to the final part of what we're going to say here, we're going to look at the summer really quick and just give you – a lot of people have asked, even on the sports radio show I'm interning with in Nashville, you know, people are saying, what are you going to watch this summer? Everything's going away. That's not really true. True Blood, are you still all in with True Blood?
Hell no.
Did you finish last year?
Hell no.
I thought you were still more into it than me.
No. You told me what happened, and I was like, oh, I just want to throw up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right. Well, I'm still watching it. It starts next week. Breaking Bad returns on July 15th. That needs to be something you work on.
Don't tell me how to live my life.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the audience. Actually, I was talking to you.
I see how it is.
Louis and Wilfred are back on June 28th, along with Charlie Sheen's new show and Russell Brand's variety show. Those last two, I could give a shit. We'll not be watching those, but Louis and Wilfred, can't wait.
By the way, Tiger Woods just won.
Won the Memorial, and I posted about it, yes. I was thrilled and very happy about that. Tournament, another one of those tournaments he's won a million times. This is the fourth time he's won it. Last two tournaments he's won, he had already won 9 times before coming, so.
So what does this mean? It means tomorrow morning, ESPN's going to be all over that and run that to the ground. Is Tiger back? Is Tiger back?
Answer is no, but I'm glad to see him win. Let's see, what else? Falling Sky is a show I did not watch, but I'm thinking about going back and watching season 1 because a lot of people that I respect really like it. I think you liked it too, didn't you?
I did the first couple episodes. It kind of got boring to me after 3 or 4 of them.
Okay. Maybe I won't. Leverage comes back. Dallas, the reboot, is coming on. I actually am looking forward to that. I'm not really sure why, but I am. Franklin and Bash is back Tuesday.
Here's what I love about the Dallas thing. I love how every time I go to Walmart, which is weekly, sadly, they play the hell out of the Dallas preview on their electronics section.
I've never seen it there.
They don't play Leverage. They don't play Franklin Bash. They don't play Aziz and Rizzoli, whatever.
Rizzoli and Isles.
Yeah, they don't ever play those, but they play the shit out of Dallas, man. They know their marketing at Walmart. I promise you, it's amazing.
All the USA shows are coming back. Can't wait for Suits. Obviously, White Collar, Covert Affairs, Burn Notice, all of them coming back. If you know me, you know I am addicted to all those USA shows. I love them to death. So those are obviously going to be worth your time. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, yeah. There's that Aaron Sorkin show that starts in 2 weeks starring Jeff Daniels, which has a bunch of people I really love in it, and it's about the medium that I am majoring in college and what I'm associated with internally and externally right now. And I really can't wait, and I think it's going to be a brilliant show. I just don't know why Olivia Munn is on it.
She's in everything, though. Remember?
Well, I think she finally got kicked off the Daily Show, which is good.
She's the next big thing.
Is she?
I don't know.
Remember how well her show did on NBC?
Yeah.
I think it was on maybe two more episodes than Work It.
Ooh.
So that's not really saying much, but you don't have HBO, so you watch it in different ways, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I go to people's houses and watch it. That's all I'm going to say.
People's houses, in quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
Are you planning on watching this?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Just not interested?
No, I'm just messing with you. I'll probably wait for the DVD to come out, and then I'll watch it.
This show, if it's not ideologically so far left that it alienates a bunch of people, has the potential to be one of the biggest shows HBO's had in a long time. I think that at this point, Game of Thrones, like True Blood is still probably the mainstream leader, but Game of Thrones is really the straw that stirs the drink for HBO at this point. And it's only 10 episodes per season, and they explain that the reason it's not 12 like most HBO shows is because if they did that, it would be well over a year between seasons because of how much goes into the filming of each episode. So I think the network's going to be incredible, and I can't wait, and I just pray that it's not a polemic and that it tells more of a good story rather than a political, let's make sure Obama gets elected in November kind of story. Whether I liked Obama or not, it's irrelevant. I just don't think that needs to be what this show is. I think we saw what happens to Sorkin when he tries to go too far in one direction. When he wrote for The West Wing, it was still liberal, but not so far left that it was out of control. It was still done in more of a moderate way. And once he left the show, it went way even further left. And then it became nowhere near the program that it was before. So he's got an opportunity here to really capitalize on The Social Network. And he also wrote the script for something else. What did he do the screenplay for that came out this year? Do you remember? Sorkin? He wrote some other, and it was a movie I really liked, too. I can't remember now what it was. Oh, yeah, John Carter comes out on Tuesday on DVD.
You said it was this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn it.
Maybe it was last year.
Oh, nah,
Moneyball. I'm thinking of Moneyball.
Oh, it's God.
Last year. Yeah. All right, so there's a major look. If you had to rank the six finales we talked about, more exclusively, what would you give top billing to?
Top billing to Community, Parks, Big Bang Theory, Modern Family, How Much More Than The Office.
Yeah, okay. You said Community first and Parks second?
Community, Parks, Big Bang, Modern Family, How Much More Than The Office. The reason I put Modern Family slightly above How I Met Your Mother, Modern Family, because it wasn't bad. It just wasn't important to me. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But How Much Mother just was so disappointing, but not as disappointing as The Office.
Well, nothing could be... Well,
that makes sense.
It wasn't even as disappointing as The Office. We knew it wasn't going to be good. Because it hasn't been good in a while. So I guess it's not all that surprising. So, as we depart, we've got planned in the next couple of weeks, what, a Saturday Night Live podcast that I'm really looking forward to doing.
We're going to do a podcast on why Aaron Sorkin looks like a fat Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer's already fat.
Yes.
Never mind.
He looks like a fat Val Kilmer from 1992.
Aww.
What else do we have coming down the pipe? We're going to do that Office.
Yeah, recast. I'm trying to think. I'm sure we're going to do a summer finale. We're going to do a Spider-Man one, I would assume.
Yeah, and we've got the Dark Knight one, obviously, coming up. So there's going to be some fun stuff on the way.
Growing Pains.
I had to do some research. It's been a while. good grief. You going to see Prometheus Friday?
No, probably not.
You going to see it at all?
Nope, probably not.
Are you just saying that, or are you serious this time?
No, I'm serious. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea. So, I'm not really big into the whole aliens thing.
The shit in my tea.
Pretty much. I'm sure it's going to be good. I mean, I've seen some reviews already so far, and it's given it decent reviews. So,
but do you have an iPhone now, or are you still using a Droid?
Shut up. I'm still using a Droid.
Okay, I thought for some reason you had an iPhone now.
No, I'm going to wait. I still have an upgrade I can use at any point, because Verizon calls me weekly, let me know that, and my contract ends in August, and rumor has it, iPhone 5's in August, so I'm one of those people.
Any new apps on your tablet you wanted to mention?
No, not really. I haven't had any. The only thing I've downloaded lately was just Color Snap from Sherman Williams, because there's spots in my house that I needed to touch up, and it's a free app. You just basically you upload it, and you take a photo with it, and it just recognizes the paint that they have in stock that matches it.
You've become quite dull.
That's not nice. I'm trying to help America by fixing up their homes. You want me to be fun?
You are Al Borland.
That makes you Cal Borland?
No. No, it doesn't. Well, I will tell you, if you want to spend a dollar, well, if it's iPad, you spend $2, but Flick Home Run is off the chain.
I got that.
It's awesome. You have the free one, or did you actually get it?
No, I got the free one. Fuck that. I got that one and the Flick field goal one.
There's also NFL Flick Quarterback, which is officially done by the NFL. And I have that on my iPhone. And it is it's really good.
I got it on my iPad. I haven't really played with it much. The only, you know what I've been playing lately? I'm playing the hell out of MLB The Show. Oh. So let me tell you this. I didn't even tell you the story. And we'll end it on this note if you want.
That sounds good.
I'm doing the show mode, and I'm playing first base. And I get picked up originally by the double-A team that filters through the Angels. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm not going to sweat it. That's cool. 2 months into the game, I get traded to the Mississippi Braves, double-A Braves. I'm super ecstatic because you and me are Braves fans. So I'm like, cool, that works. One of the games in my double-A games, I'm batting like 300 at this point, 10 home runs. So I'm pretty decent. I mean, good at bat, power batter, but I'm slow as shit base running. Slow as hell. Right field play, awful, because they switch me to right field occasionally. One day, batting, and I hit a line drive. It goes straight to the pitcher's head. Knocks him out. He's out for the game. Next game, I get called up to AAA to the Gwinnett Braves.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, that's how you got to make it in the leagues. You knock him out.
Wow.
So now I'm batting 375. 12 home runs in a month and a half in my next season in Road to the Show. So, knocking on Atlanta Braves' door coming up next.
How much of E3 are you thinking about watching this week? Any?
None.
Really? Not going to watch the conferences?
Probably not. I mean, you know, I work mainly 9 to 5, 9 to 6 almost every day during the week. I got a date tomorrow night meeting a lovely lady at Barley's downtown. We may watch Game 5 of your Thunder versus the Spurs.
Yep.
Good for them, 2-2. So we'll probably watch that because she's into basketball. I like watching finals and stuff like that, too. I got more into baseball now playing with the show because I understand more of the psychology behind it. So that's interesting. I watched the Clemson and South Carolina game yesterday, most of it, and I really got into it. But, yeah, we'll probably do that. So, I mean, I'm just busy this week. So, honestly, no. I'll probably try to do my best in between work hours and, you know, see little snippets on my phone, but as far as actual conferences, because they're so long, like this podcast, probably not much.
Well, they are going to be streaming them and replaying them all week online, so you can watch them if you choose to. I think the big things that are going to come out of it are, or the things they're going to be showing off are Halo 4, Resident Evil 6.
Gears prequel.
I don't know what they're doing with Gears. Is that what they're doing?
Gears prequel. There's it's called Judgment or Judgment Day. And it's before the events of the first Gears, and it stars a young Cole and a young Baird, and then two new characters. So, there's an exclusive for you from Certifiable Total Recall. Thank you very much. Woo!
Well, that's a little bit over 2 hours, and the audio seemed to be quite a bit better this time. So hopefully you enjoyed it. It was long, but we got through a whole lot of stuff. Talked about The Dark Knight, talked about Green Lantern, Richard Dawson, some poker, a bunch of stuff about movies, and then an ass load on TV, including what has happened and what is to come. Obviously, email us, find us on Facebook. It's at Avan360, at JMart100 on Twitter and on Facebook. And apparently Andy has a Pinterest. I have not even gone to look at Pinterest before. So maybe I'll do that at some point. But that is it for me. I actually think I'm losing my voice, and I actually have to be on the radio tomorrow, so I'm going to stop talking now. Andy, send us home.
We are the Rush Hour Renegades. Coming at ya! That's how I'm going to end it. Fuck it.
You got to say your line.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah.
This has been another edition of Certifiable Total Recall on June 3rd, 2012. From JMart, like he says, from me, we out. There's the official one. Fuck you. Fresh Hour Renegades. Brilliant.
I used it on the radio.
Brilliant, Jerry.